Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
And popcorn.
Tonight!
Welcome to the show.
Tonight, my new friend Rachel Oyvey. Welcome to Resurrect Republic. Oh, Lord have mercy. It was a little bit of a rough start, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about that, but, you know, that's live for you. Tonight, we're joined by Rachel. Thank you for joining us tonight. We're not going to give your last name because this is going to be probably a pretty hot interview that we don't want to get you in too much trouble. But a former Chosenite, former feminist, very interesting person who I met through Brian Young, High Impact Flicks, through the Discord server that we all connect on. Bunch of like-minded voluntarists, you know, or more libertarian, paleoconservative-ish, whatever people, eclectic group of interesting people. Anyway, welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay. I can hear you okay.
All right.
So you have a really interesting background, and one of the things that I try and stress with, you know, especially amongst the, you know, because I'm conservative, but, you know, oftentimes I'm all kinds of name called and smeared for being anti-Zionist. you know, we get called these names, Jew hater, anti-Semite. And here you're a perfect example. You're born and raised into an Orthodox community. And you and I had just amazing conversations that were just awesome. I think you're an awesome person. And I think that we need to have these conversations, right, so that we can expose what the real problems are and maybe get to the root of these things without so much animosity towards other people. What do you think?
I think for sure. I think that the mainstream media is trying to push a very specific narrative that people have to categorize themselves into these very, very narrow premises, and you're not allowed to have various opinions away from maybe what you were raised with or maybe what you normally identify with, and you're not allowed to have either way. You're not allowed to have an honest discussion. Everything is so politically correct, so sanitized, yeah, so monitored, and so censored that you're not allowed to reach across any sort of ideology or any sort of belief system to even engage in an honest conversation and to even just reach out to someone and say you politely agree or disagree. Like, I think, again, the media is just striving to get everyone to fight so much and to just hate each other so much instantaneously that it really doesn't allow any room for discourse. So as you and I were sort of discussing earlier, it was awesome. We both have these ridiculously different backgrounds, and even now we still have different belief systems, but we were having just this open dialogue that, again, just shouldn't be allowed to happen. It's forbidden, right? Like, I think it's absolutely right. Fantastic, and there's a lot of hope in that.
Right, I think so too. You know, and I know that there's detractors out there. Oh, you got a Jewish droid. You're a shill. You're a closet Zionist.
Right.
Yeah, man, you know what? I'm so not about hating people for whatever belief system they were. Look, I'm a Christian. A lot of people think that Christians are horribly, you know, a lot of people don't understand different ideologies. Yeah, I have a problem with a lot of Christians. But you see, I call out what I think to be is aspects of any faith or ideology that dehumanizes mm-hmm. other people in a lump group mass, has them all labeled as one thing, and they're just all bad. And this has been done to Christians, it's been done to Jews, it's been done to Muslims, it's done to everybody. And it's just, it builds walls that prevent us from being able to maintain any kind of a reasonable dialogue with one another. And that's including right and left. Every paradigm you could possibly imagine. So from what I understand, you were a feminist?
Look
at that smile. Come on.
Yeah, so a couple of things about that was... growing up, I mean, there was definitely this emphasis on equality, except I'll put it to you this way. Like, when I went to temple, I had to sit behind a curtain. I wasn't allowed to lead a service. And that was something that really bothered me, was that frustration and feeling that there was this inequality in the religion itself. And whenever I tried to talk to people about that, about those different various, like, the roles felt uneven, right? Whenever I tried to talk about that, people would say to me, oh, well, if you're a woman, you're considered spiritually connected to God, and therefore you don't need to lead a service. You don't need to express those things as a man would. So inherently, you know, you have more power. Right. And my thoughts were like, well, then how come it doesn't feel that way? Or like, why isn't it adding up that way? And especially when I left for college and I double majored, I majored in fine arts with illustration and women's studies. I had taken some women's studies courses.
Marxist Studies 101, yeah.
Right. The Frankfurt School Studies. So I had learned about the wage gap, and I learned about, unequal access of opportunity, and I learned about patriarchy and all of these oppressive systems, right? I learned all these things, and I was very heavily into it. And I had never, even when I identified as a hardcore feminist, I still, with my specific wave, I never identified as like hating men or having it out for them or anything like of that nature. But
it doesn't make sense into a normal mind after you unplug from the Marxist programming. It just doesn't make sense.
But even that being said, I was still in the mindset of, oh, we need a female president. Oh, we need more women in Congress. Oh, we need more representation in government. I still had
because of the JJ.
Government being this authoritarian structure that was good for women. that was good for helping, you know, I was still pro-affirmative action is my point. So I didn't hate people. I just thought I was doing the right thing. And I've done, like, you know, all kinds of marches and protests and what have you and organizations. I was part of a feminist club and all of this stuff, right? And then I realized, like, and I was a hardcore atheist and I had joined a lot of atheist clubs and things like that. And even after college, I was still interested in social justice work, and I was interested in a lot of things. And then,
you were idealistic.
Yeah, and I had good intentions. And it was weird. I had this conception that libertarians were these just selfish people who had money and didn't understand the plight of anyone, you know, poor or that needed help, and that they were just, you know, I just imagined that business owners were just, again, selfish people. I didn't understand the concept and the difference between capitalism and crony corporatism or like government sort of having certain specific relationships with corporations to create monopolies. I wasn't aware of the larger picture or the structure of that at all. So around 2016, during the election, and I was a big Bernie supporter, I identified as a Democratic Socialist.
Nope.
Yeah, I identified as a Democratic Socialist, and I voted for Bernie. And between seeing how the election was rigged and seeing the WikiLeaks emails and all of this stuff kind of coming out at the same time and seeing it in real time for myself, and I had had coworkers who said to me, look, I voted for, you know, Ron Paul, and he got screwed over, and this is what I went through, and my idea was like, you don't understand what I went through. How could you ever? We're on different divides politically. But after that election specifically, I realized, oh my goodness, like, we're not that different. We disagreed about how we should go about doing things, but essentially our intentions were kind of the same. And after that election, I realized what a sham elections could be. The Democratic National Party was sued for fraud. And they said, we're not beholden to our constituents. And I was like, wait a minute. So why do you want to take my money, but you don't care about my vote? Like, that's not even democratic. So it was hypocritical. And it, from that point, and including the WikiLeaks emails, I kind of went into that rabbit hole of sort of being exposed to the great illusion that it was. And I did become disillusioned. And I started looking to other conspiracies and all the people that were deemed labeled crazy and the people that talked about Zionism and stuff like that. And for me personally, growing up and stuff, while I knew a lot of people that were pro-Israel and identified with it strongly, with their religion and their heritage and kind of this ideal, this romanticized version.
You know what? Let me just take it back just a little bit and tell our audience about you. I'm sorry, I skipped over your upbringing, your background. Can you tell us about that?
Okay. Yeah, I'll try to be in chronological order. I'm sorry about that
too. No, that was my fault. I started going off on the feminist angle only because feminism is cancer, but go ahead.
It's ovarian cancer.
That's good. I like that.
I was going to say, so I was raised conservadox, which was a combination of orthodox and conservative, to where my parents would drive on temple, you know, they would drive on the Sabbath to get to temple, but they would say, justify it by saying my dad had to be a part of a minyan, you know, you needed 10 men to form a prayer service. So they would kind of somewhat pick and choose a little bit of what was convenient to them. But like, it was strict in the sense of like, I had to eat kosher. I could only date someone that was from the same, you know, Jewish faith. And they're very adamant and strict about that. Kind of every aspect of my life was tied into that religion. And at first in middle school, when I was younger, it didn't really matter to me because everyone in the community was doing the same thing. But then when I went to a secular public high school and I had this free market of ideas, kind of shocking, I got to meet people who had different backgrounds and ideologies from me. And instead of having this mentality, which I never liked, this mentality of, oh, you're the chosen people, and these other people just don't count. They're just sort of existing and you know, you just ignore them or they're misguided kind of thing. Right. I was never cool with that. But once I entered public school, I'm like, yeah, these people are a lot like me. I really don't identify with this religion. And at that point, I eventually considered myself to be an atheist around like 17, 18 years old. And I didn't really know where to go with this stuff. Because
had
when
enough
I
tried of God for a while?
I'm sorry?
Had enough of the God faiths there for a while to probably fill you up for a while, and imagine what the Orthodox coming out of Orthodoxy.
It was just a lot. I mean, again, it was their central focus. It was how they connected and related to the world around them, right? I mean, that's kind of their justification for a lot of things, and their ideology is because God said so, and referencing, you know, the Old Testament. And I did learn like a little bit of Talmud growing up in my studies, Judaica studies and all this stuff. In addition to secular studies, I had to learn some Hebrew and all this stuff. So by the time I got to college, right, I was a pretty hardcore atheist, pretty hardcore feminist, pretty hardcore social justice warrior, all this stuff. And I thought I was doing the right thing. Like, I thought I was just pursuing my own path. And then, like I said, 2016, when the election happened, it really changed quite a bit for me. I had this weird moment, and this was hard. This was really hard to do, was this realization that everyone that I had deemed to be the enemy, everyone that I had deemed to be in the way of perceiving some kind of utopia, you know, was totally flipped. It was the weirdest thing. Like, all, you know, the Democrats and the people who considered themselves to be the people of, you know, like the party of the people, so to speak, and the party of the hard workers, and like, oh, they understand how I feel, how I struggled as a student. And while I was in college, like, I did work to support myself, you know, the entire time that I was there. And I got, you know, a scholarship at one point. I worked really, really hard. But again, I there was a lot of idealization that was certainly fed to me about what I was learning and why and what good it was going to do in the world and how I was doing my part as a citizen. And then leaving that bubble, leaving that sphere of academia was quite a wake-up call in terms of how the actual world,
the real world,
operates, on an economic, in a real economic and tangible way. And I used to be really...
Gender studies doesn't cut it for trying to make a living, huh?
That's right. Because everyone else is always the enemy. There's always someone else to blame for your problems.
I didn't get that job because of feminism.
Right. Or like,
patriarchy.
Again, I never hated men, but I certainly just saw this as a larger system as a whole that had a lot of problems. And we do have a lot of problems in our system, but it's not necessarily one specific group of people. Like, it's not always the enemy that you would think that it would be.
Right.
And the blame is always shifted around. Instead of looking inwards at yourself and saying, okay, you know, what is it I can do? Or, hey, instead of worrying about this or this group of people, you know, if I really want to contribute to the world and make some actual difference in the world, then I can do that by either creating economic opportunity for other people, or I can do that by better educating myself on what it is other people actually need and potentially going to the market for that. And those were ideas.
It sounds like you found your way to just being an all-American girl. I like that, American. All these other things, these other isms and everything. But I think what you really found was, you know, your Americanism.
But so I'll put it to you this way, though. It wasn't easy. Because as much as the left likes to idolize the idea of being tolerant and being open and being more empathetic and nurturing to a sense and having those like specific qualities of what they claim to have, it was really incredibly painful for me to have discussions, like I said, to go down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole and to become disillusioned with government, become disillusioned with a lot of what I learned in college, that it was kind of like, and having a discussion outside of my own bubble, which is super important, which is why, again, the mainstream media try so hard to censor people and to push people into these categories. Because when you talk to people that are different from you, you might change your mind. And that was kind of always my attitude. So I will say, like, it is certainly possible for someone to come from a different political background with you than you and to change their mind. But that person at the same time has to be open to doing that. It has to be sincere and authentic to doing that. Because for me personally, I always have that attitude. If you can prove me wrong in a conversation or a debate, I'll change my mind. And it was a really, really hard thing to do.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back, right back, ladies and gentlemen. Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media, with Rachel. Oy vey! Right back. Everything you earn by breaking your backs. We're gonna redistribute when we make our big tax. Hey, sit down, don't be a jerk.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, a flood down in Texas. Oh, and the telephone lines are down.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Resurrection Republic, RTR Truth Media. Get out your popcorn. Get out your matzo balls or whatever else that you would like to snack and chew on. We're on the line with Rachel, a friend that I met for those of you just tuning in, from High Impact Flicks, kind of a small eclectic group that he created after his interview with Mike the Cop, which was pretty awesome. I also, for those of you listening, we've already reached out to Brian. He's going to be coming on at some point. We're going to be doing an interview with Brian Young from High Impact Flicks. That's going to be awesome. Also, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, if you go to rtrtruthmedia.com and smash that PayPal button, for every $25 of donation that you send, you buy a ticket for a raffle of a brand name, brand new, at least $500 worth, if we can get it better, we will get it better, computer, laptop, with Windows 10, Windows 7, Windows 8, whatever you prefer, we'll make that happen. So go to rtrtruthmedia.com, smash that PayPal button, and make sure that you put in the little subject matter, laptop. And we will enter you into a drawing when we've reached the $1,000 mark for our fund drive, and we will pull the names out of a jar on video and transparent. You watch us put the names in, you watch us draw it out. And none of our personal friends are donating. are chipping in, so you don't have to worry about any improprieties. So anyway, now let's get back.
This is for you, the listening audience.
Right. This helps us. It helps you. It's something fun, and it keeps this thing going, because you know we have no corporate sponsors, and we wouldn't want them. We don't want to be controlled. We want to be able to say what we want to say. And some of the things we're going to say tonight, we're going to be going down some rabbit holes with Rachel. She's did some excellent research on Parkland, and we're going to be talking about Zionism and Talmud and Orthodox Judaism and ideologies and how it affects people, and all these areas we're going to try and cover tonight. But anyway, we were talking about your upbringing, and you remember where you left off?
Yeah, I mean, just to sum it up, I was raised conservadox, which is a combination of conservative and orthodox, and kind of had a bit of a bubble community until I went to high school. And then during college, I had a different kind of indoctrination of a lot of very liberal studies, and then eventually graduated and was a hardcore atheist, hardcore feminist, hardcore social justice warrior, all that stuff to catch you up to speed. And then once the 2016 election hit, I kind of became very disillusioned with the political and the electoral voting system, all that good stuff. And I found myself becoming really just an anarchist and identifying as an individual of sorts.
You went from left to hardcore far right, which that is anarchist, by the way. The political spectrum, I've showed my audience repeatedly, they would have us believe that it's if you're a liberal or a Democrat, you're all the way on the left. And if you're conservative, you're all the way on the right and fascist. That's actually not a true political spectrum. The true political spectrum is big government all the way on the left and no government all the way on the right. So you went from the left to flying straight over the coup, right to the hardcore right, the anarchist, the freedom, leave me alone, don't tread on me, leave me alone, I'll leave you alone kind of ideal.
Yeah, I felt super guilty and hypocritical because I found myself in a situation where every argument I had made against libertarians, I started debunking. Like everything to do with healthcare, everything to do
with the— so you were talking to the libertarian socialist crowd.
I guess, like,
there's a whole box within that too. There's the libertarian socialist, which I do not identify with. And then there's the libertarians more like Ron Paul that believe that, you know, look, I'll leave you alone, you leave me alone, we have a voluntary exchange of ideas, I don't enforce government plans or nanny state on you. That's when I say libertarian, I talk more like Ron Paul, right? Mm-hmm. But I understand that there is a divide, very interesting thing going on among the libertarian or people that self-identify as libertarian community, where some libertarians actually believe in socialism. Socialism cannot be gotten with freedom. So it's kind of like a schizophrenic mindset of these libertarians. So I understand where you're kind of going with the, you started debunking a lot of libertarian thought. But when I say libertarian, I kind of mean Ron Paul, right?
I get your point. That makes a lot of sense. But my point was, I used to see libertarians as part of the problem and part of the enemy, right? Like, really? And I used to see people on the conservative right as part of the enemy. I saw them as being selfish business owners, right? Or like being selfish and wanting to privatize things because they didn't care about the poor and like they didn't understand. You know, like that's the mentality that I saw, and that's the mentality that the left tends to try to put out and label people on the right and like label conservatives and label libertarians. And I found myself debunking arguments that I had previously made, which is really a terrifying situation to be in.
Sure.
And like I mentioned,
I so respect you for it though. That's awesome. That is so awesome. Oh, okay. I hate these breaks, but we have to take them to keep on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with Darshixa. Rachel, we'll be right back with Rachel, Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media. God bless America.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Mother of the moon, which filled my sails, crossed the sea of years. With no provisions, but in all the places, love is straight to fear.
Welcome back. A former Chosenite.
Shalom.
Right?
Or as you people say, hi.
a former Chosenite, former feminist, disillusioned with a lot of the instrumentalities of government. When we were talking off air about healthcare, and I think that you've made a really good point when we were off air. can you explain why you don't support government-funded healthcare?
Yeah. So the point I was trying to make was, and it's a subject we can get into more later, is that during 2016 in my research, I discovered more about conspiracies and false flags and hoaxes. And my ultimate conclusion was that regardless of the potential good that universal healthcare could do or the potential good in expanding government programs, I couldn't morally consent and be okay with any sort of organization that supported false flags and hoaxes to be in charge of anything else in people's lives. Like, that just, those two things conflict each other.
In other words, for whatever good they propose, they'll always misuse it for their own advantage.
Yeah, but even then, it's like, I don't want psychopaths to be that involved in people's lives. Like,
and you end up with death panels with healthcare.
And to me, and again, like, there's no, to me, I personally hold on to the belief that there's no reform in that. You can't water that down, is what I'm trying to say, regardless of how many people you want to vote into the system. And the point I was making earlier was, like, I did know people who got upset with the Democratic National Party, but instead of saying, hey, screw government, they just went, oh, well, we're progressives. We are going to maintain our values of expanding government, but we'll just replace the Democrats with progressives. That's
Right.
We're going to take the empire down from within. Like, that's,
yeah. We were also talking about the Jimmy Dore style of a disillusioned Democrats who, you know, used to work for the Young Turks, which I can't stand Cenk. I think he's an idiot, but
I used to watch Young Turks every day.
I know. I used to watch them when I needed a good laugh.
And I remember the moment, by the way, that they were like, oh, well, Bernie's going to probably lose, so everyone just needs to rally behind Hillary. And I'm like,
that was all psyop. I believe it was all orchestrated. I don't think that Bernie was ever the intended winner. But then again, you know, just like Ron Paul, he got his message out, but they weren't going to let him win. They're not going to let somebody that believes in freedom of any sort win.
Right.
You know, that was all. But they had lost so many young people who already knew kind of what Hillary was about. Mm-hmm. And when Bernie said, yeah, you got to vote for her, I think they really thought that if Bernie directed them to vote for her, that would just happen. I think it was all a psyop from the beginning. That's just my own personal opinion.
And as a female, I can't even express to you the amount of vitriol I got from people who are tolerant for me not voting for Hillary. They're like, don't you want a female president? And it was like,
because of the vajayjay, right?
Right.
Wow.
Like, supposed to be vagina sisters just because she's also a woman.
Yeah.
I mean, it was terrible. And I was like, this is identity politics. This is insane. Like, you're not looking at the content of or the moral character of a person. Right. You're just looking at, like, the packaging, and you're not thinking about what that person actually wants to do once they're in office, or even the larger system of just a puppet being put in its place. And, like, why should we be giving our consent to an authority over us?
Like the Clinton or the cackling at Gaddafi's death, or, I mean, just there's so many things, Benghazi, there's so many things about Hillary that's so disturbing. And it, to me, it just blows my mind how, look, I can't understand people supporting her, but I really can't understand people who support her castigating other people.
Calling them deplorables.
Isolating
people and taking people's real disconcern and real disillusionment with how they're living and their unhappiness and their frustration under Obama, and just being the arrogance, the sheer arrogance of it, and just saying, well, I'm going to win, I don't care.
the government and the support and worship of it has become a cult in and of itself, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the tenets in the moral fabric of anarchy is really at its core incredibly simple, especially when you take into consideration the non-aggression principle. And there were so many vocabulary things, non-aggression principle and taxation is theft and stuff that libertarians would throw around that I was just like, a monopoly of violence. I'm like, I don't understand what these terms means, and that's an exaggeration, and like, oh, you don't get how things work. And then once I understood how parasitic government could be and like how it's designed to just take from the people and not produce anything.
Right.
And then it hit me and I'm like, oh, I felt really dumb. And that's the point, and that's the hardcore thing. And the point I'm trying to give to you is, regardless of someone's background, is people can change. And I've changed my mind several times over the years of what I identify with. And people can change, but the core part of that is they have to be willing to change, have to be willing to have conversations, have to be willing to be open-minded and admit when they're wrong. And that's really painful, and it's hard to do, to let go of your ego and to put it aside and look at things in a very Socratic and objective way. Yeah. And that's an incredibly, incredibly hard thing to do. But it can be done. And certainly the media, as it stands right now, is not going to allow that to happen.
No, that's why you're on our show instead of CNN.
That was the only reason.
Right.
Yes. And that's when it comes to government, and when it comes to government, I don't want to think, well, can I believe you today? I just don't think that should be an option in the whole process.
Well, yeah. You know, I've come to the point with that. And here, one of the things that bothers me is, okay, let's just look at the things that have been declassified that we know of that are no longer a theory that we absolutely know, like the government spraying irradiated mist on people in Chicago, like the CIA experimenting with biological warfare in New York, like the MK Ultra experiments. They've taken the power or the permission or whatever it is you want to call it that we've given them, absolutely, completely, not only abused it, abuse is an understatement, but then seek, then castigate you if you're disillusioned with government. Hello? Once you have already made all of these violations have occurred and are declassified, it's not, no longer a subject of debate. I don't trust you anymore. It's like the, you know, the little boy that cried wolf, you know, once you violate me six ways from Sunday, I'm not really open-minded to you talking about how you're not going to violate me six more times.
Precisely my point. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's happening now in a lot of movements, as you can see with the Me Too movement and Black Lives Matter and like a lot of social justice movements and things like that, and this ties into what you're saying, is there are real problems that do exist. There are real conversations that we need to have in terms of, you know, respecting people as beings and understanding each other. However, that being said, what the government does and what the media does as well is they capitalize off of people's emotional states. They push them and upset them, and they take problems and they exaggerate them and they create more problems in order to divide people on purpose.
Problem,
so they
creation yeah. solution. It's Hegelian dialectics.
It is. And it's in terms of gun control, in terms of creating more, labels with mental health and trying to restrict access to guns and people's protection of themselves. And instead of respecting those rights, right? And those are natural rights anyway, they shouldn't have to be declared in a constitution even, or on a piece of paper somewhere for those to exist.
Well, it's funny to me, the same leftist ideologues that would say, you know, we have to protect the lions, we have to protect the elephants in Africa against the people cutting their tusks off, or the people killing the lions for their teeth, their mane, and their okay, these same people that want to protect animals in their natural habitat don't seem to understand that guns are our teeth, and essentially taking our guns is no different than going into the heart of Africa, yanking a bunch of teeth out of lions, and then setting them out to try and fend for themselves. They're police, first of all, we know that they have no duty or obligation to protect us. The Supreme Court has determined this. Yet, just recently, I released a video. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it, where a cop walks into a guy's backyard or close to a guy's backyard, and he's looking for somebody who, you know, this is an old guy who's in his backyard who sees a guy with a flashlight at his fence. He's got a firearm down at his leg. He doesn't raise it. The cop doesn't announce himself, shoots at him twice. The grandpop in the backyard shoots and hits him once. Fortunately, in the bulletproof vest, he did get penetrated a little bit. But the comments that came in after that were, oh, well, they were both wrong because he shouldn't have come out of his house. And look, people aren't seeming to understand something. One of the comments was that the grandfather never should have been armed in the first place. This cop shot at him twice without announcing himself.
He's on his own.
Had he not had the gun, he said the first bullet he heard whizzed past his head. If he hadn't had that gun and hit the cop in the vest, thank God that the cops that came didn't kill the guy. But if he hadn't had that gun, he may be dead. But that's okay to authoritarian-minded people who it's just about the government employee. It's not about the individual right of an individual to protect himself on his own ground. I don't know. It's just I don't understand that mindset.
Because then the logic becomes circular where they think, oh, well, we don't want to get hurt by a mafia, so we have to vote for a mafia so that we don't get hurt by a mafia. So it's like, but Love you it. Guys, if we get together and vote for a less mean mafia, then we can be terrorized by a slightly less mean mafia. like the logic of it doesn't make any sense. And to be honest, it took a while for myself to embrace that those rights and understanding people's rights to defend themselves and things like that, are such simple concepts.
I'm about to put you on the spot.
Go for it.
Who did 9/11?
So, here's my honest... Here's my honest opinion about 9/11. I'll say this, and I don't mean this as a cop-out answer. I'll get the basics. I for sure believe that 9/11 was an inside job because you're not going to just have random passports, great conditions. Sort of, good news, everyone. We found the enemy in 5 minutes. And, good news, everyone. Now we can go to war with Iraq because,
I say outside, but let's hear your description.
So it goes on multiple levels like this, and I'll explain it to you. There's different theories. I'll put to you list. So some of those do involve Zionist theories, right? Do involve the Jews with the box cutters. I mean, I've heard of that theory, right? Artists, kind of level up. My personal theory about 9/11 is very similar to Matt from Quantum of Conscious, which is on YouTube. Okay. I believe that 9/11 was conducted by, I call them the powers that shouldn't be, I believe is the right words to use for that. So the powerful elite, how you would have them be the globalist New World Order. I believe Zionists, you could say, were in charge of 9/11. That being said, I do think that there were certain activities all done in purpose to get people to fight over the details of 9/11. So the big picture. So yes. I'm trying to think of a way that this will
I'm talking big picture. I'm not talking about all the planes and the space beams and the lizard people. I'm talking about the essence.
That's why I hesitated, because there are so
many I don't go down. Right? Yeah, I don't do
so
that.
So the big picture is, I believe, and this has to deal with a bit of spirituality without religion necessarily, but I believe in terms of us being, and I can get into this a little bit more. I believe that one of our purposes in existence of experiencing life as we know it as human beings is to have a means of consciousness experiencing itself and as a means of growing as souls. That being said, I think that there are certain catastrophic things and stresses that we are forced to be confronted with in order to distract us from our higher purpose. So 9/11 would be one of those things, one of those events. This is my personal opinion theory. One of those events where it was a horrible terrorist act on the government by its own people. So that could be a combination of our government and Zionists and what have you, an inside job and all those terrible actors involved.
All right. So what I'm getting at is you basically know it was an inside and an outside job by probably a multitude of intelligence services. But you're also aware of who was arrested that day in New York City with explosives. Right. You heard about Urban Moving Systems and the George Washington Bridge truck bomb. And right. So you're familiar with these facts. What's your position on, and obviously that these people with the passports didn't get in without help from within the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. That's obvious. I think that it's a neocon, which are Christian Zionists and Jewish Zionists, but it's an eclectic form of it. Neocons and Zionists really, in my opinion, pulled off 9/11. Your thoughts on that?
So my point is, I believe 9/11 was pulled off by the dark occult, which could incorporate all the people that you mentioned, and that part of the reason there's so many discrepancies about 9/11 of who did this and what is, I think part of it, again, not as a cop-out answer, is meant to be a distraction and to keep you scared and to keep you fighting within the truth or community is my point.
Oh, I agree with you there. But yeah. Ultimately, I really, to be quite honest, and this is an area that, especially the people that talk about Israel and the neocon and the Bushes and being involved in 9/11 really don't address the Bolshevik factor in all of this, right? Okay, so you have Ben Gurion, who very clearly said, first prime minister of Israel, not I'm a proud Israeli, not I'm a proud Jew, I'm a proud Bolshevik. So this is the real Russian collusion story that I think is valid is that, excuse me, in some ways, you know, 9/11 was a Bolshevik job, in my opinion, because the same Trotskyites in the neoconservative movement within the United States government, Trotskyites lead back to Marxism, lead back to Bolshevism, and then those in Israel who were obviously involved, again, trace their roots to Trotskyites and Bolsheviks coming from Russia. So the real Russian collusion story that I don't think enough people talk about is 9/11.
So I agree with your points for certain, and that we could even get into a discussion possibly about how far in advance was 9/11 planned.
Right.
Because a lot of these events, I believe, were planned like years and years and years in advance. That's at least my own theory at a minimum. But my point that I was making about 9/11 is regardless of who conducted the entire thing and into what capacity were they involved in it. My point is, I do think that there were so many different things that happened during 9/11 to specifically get truthers to, like, fight.
Yes. Oh no, there was a lot of, that's typical. I even think that they had that pre-planned. They have disinformation agents that are basically ready to go, ready to come with all kinds of, was it planes? Was it not planes? Was it moonbeams?
I used to watch Alex Jones.
Oh, gay frogs!
But my point is, in a side note, and I know this is hard to segue from, but like a side note is, I do think part of the reason we have all these catastrophic terrorist events is to distract us and keep us scared and keep us in a powerless position where we can't
fear.
Yeah, we can't grow spiritually as people. Meant to keep you trapped in a state of fear.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry if that's a little bit of a segue from your question.
No, it's not really, because it keeps you in the mindset that you need more and more big government to protect you.
Mm-hmm. But it keeps you like just so invested in your energy and your attention is focusing on the details of how an event was pulled off too. And you're so scared of it that it keeps you kind of trapped in a certain mind state from being able to evolve and grow as a human being overall and just enjoy our lives the way that we were meant to. Right. That's my,
we're left with the wake of things that happen in the wake of that, that really, when you get away from that, when you look at the Patriot Act and the NDAA and
Kavanaugh helped, right?
That's something that I wanted to get into. I was going to wait until the next hour, but it's a very good point that you brought that up, because, you know, at first I noticed something and I felt like that. I keep using the scene in The Godfather where Michael Corleone says, every time I get out, they pull me back in. I found myself defending him because I knew that the allegations were bunk. But then the light bulb went off over my head and I said, oh, my God. Dianne Feinstein is working with the neocons. Mm-hmm. This is all a ruse so that they don't talk about the NDAA and the Patriot Act.
Everyone's guilty, dude.
Oh, my God. I had a light bulb moment. I watched a little lecture, which started it, of Judge Napolitano, that said I was willing to get my fingers burnt. And he illustrated how Kavanaugh was a part of not only drafting the Patriot Act, but he also, in federal court, he decided that it wasn't a Fourth Amendment violation for the NSA to spy on American citizens by gathering data on all our cell phones. Hello, what are you talking about? Talking about who he diddled 36 years ago. We're talking about our privacy today.
Was it John Brennan who was asked directly, right? Didn't he commit perjury because they asked him, like Congress asked him directly, does the NSA spy on civilians? And he said, no.
Yeah, and he knew. Now, it wouldn't have been perfect.
No, but he's like, I didn't understand what your question meant. Like,
yeah, it's like it depends on what is.
What is?
Reminds me of the Donald Rumsfeld of there's the unknown knowns, the known knowns, the known unknowns. I love it.
So my point is, like, all these people are guilty. There's just so much more complication to it. And the mainstream media's job is to divide people into camps over dumb things, like, and to exploit. That's the word I was looking for earlier. Exploit people's emotional states and problems that do exist. But this just isn't the right context for it. Like, they're taking real problems and they're just rehashing them in a way that will benefit themselves, and it's absolutely disgusting behavior. It's like repulsive what they're doing, right? Like, I've had so many people ask me, what do you think about Kavanaugh? And I'm like, he wrote the Patriot Act. They're like, oh, I thought you'd be angry that he assaulted women. I'm like, I don't know if he did or if he didn't, but they're all assaulting everybody all the time. Like,
right now.
Not important.
Forget about 36 years ago. Think about right now. Right. That's what drove me nuts with the Kavanaugh thing. And I have a concern because I am conservative. I have a more conservative audience. So when I started speaking out against Kavanaugh, I was called a liberal, a leftist, a communist. I'm like, oh, my God, you people don't even understand that you're supporting a neocon Trotskyite, big government, big surveillance, NSA, Patriot Act loving, authoritarian, calling me a leftist. You people have lost your friggin' minds. And I don't know, I just don't know how to explain it any simpler than that.
The best way to explain it to people is to say that, and I personally, I'm of the boat that I think everything is scripted in advance, but I can't prove that.
Well, I think that whole thing, that whole hearing, I believe, I really believe, because her story was garbage.
Do you remember the FISA court thing? Do you remember? And it's basically one of those movies, will they, won't they? Like, that's... You're like, will Hillary go to jail or won't they? Will people get busted for FISA? Won't they? Like,
it's like watching a bad B movie.
Yes, that's my point. And it's kind of like they're just kind of being edgelords, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're getting us close to being like, we're going to have justice. Like, people, like the Americans.
That's the thing with Q.
Well,
they're going to lock them up. They're preparing the indictments. I heard that.
People say, do you believe the Jewish question, JQ? I say JQAnon.
I love it.
I'm just saying, but
Oy vey, you know you're going to get in trouble for that. I hope
you're saying, I don't think I can.
Do your parents like, are they mortified at your awakening?
It kind of depends. It's kind of like, well, she's already gone off the deep end so much that really it's just kind of like bonus points. Like there's a point where it's like, they knew I was like an atheist at one point. So it's kind of like beyond there. It's just kind of like, like you can't really do worse.
How's that again?
maybe if I was like if I had converted to Christianity, at least it would be a religion.
Wow.
So, like,
converting to Christianity would be better than completely.
Right. Maybe non-belief is better because they'd be like, well, maybe there's potential to come back to the fold or something like that. But the thing is, so I don't really talk to my parents about politics again.
Okay. Folks, we're going to go into the second hour where we're going to be discussing the intricacies of probably the faith, a little bit of Talmud, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We're going to be going down some rabbit holes like Parkland. We'll be right back. Resurrect the Republic with Rachel. Oy vey! Love Rachel. You're awesome. Thank you.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.